Hello and welcome to Rick's Martini Bar. I'm Jerry McCarty here as usual with Rick Farmelo and Amanda Ring.
Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh.
What a sweet sound of glass.
And we are at the new Rick's Martini Bar, which has almost a skylight. What would you call it?
I think it is. What do you call that? A loft?
A loft. I like that a lot.
And our lighting is nice.
Lighting is nice. Like our bar.
And as a special treat, we happen to have Herb Albert, the team on our breast. They just happen to be in the neighborhood. And I had them come by. They're sitting over on the couch playing. And don't they
sound
awesome.
Great? That's awesome. They sound great. And the most important part, I have a martini in front of me.
Yeah.
Which is like old times, and I have my old stool.
Yep.
This is like Rick's Martini
like
Bar improved.
Yes.
New and improved Rick's Martini Bar.
Yeah.
So, anyway, today we are going to talk about...
We'll start off with...
Questions.
We got questions. We're listening to Burt Bacharach. This is a Burt Bacharach song from... It's the Casino Royale soundtrack, which is probably my favorite Burt Bacharach soundtrack.
Casino Royale is a... Kind of a James Bond.
It's a takeoff on James Bond.
It was made in
67. Peter Sellers is in it. Orson Welles is in it. Woody Allen's in it. David Niven is the main guy in it. Ursula Andress. It's got a million people anyway.
And the question that's Bond, Rick putting or inviting Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass to come to the opening night of Rick's Martini Bar.
I had to give him a lot of margaritas first, of course.
Because this question, dear Ricks, I really love the Carpenters songs in the 70s. Can you do a podcast on them or Burt Bacharach and Hal David? I thought Burt did his best music with Hal. So, and this is from Robert. So apparently Robert's on first name basis with Burt and Hal.
Yeah, he seems to know him pretty well.
But
he must get into a lot of lawn parties.
But anyway, this is, and I do have this question too.
Okay. I know a lot about Burt Bacharach.
Okay.
This is
more of a 70s question.
I'm good. All right. Where's my buzzer?
Okay. In the 70s, we had the... Okay, this song, what? 70...
Mm-hmm.
69.
67.
67.
Yeah.
Oh, word. Okay, better. Better for me. Woodstock. Some Jimi Hendrix.
Mm-hmm.
Who the heck was listening to this? I mean, I like it.
Everybody.
First of all,
Woodstock was 2 years after this.
67 was Woodstock.
69.
Oh, 69. Okay.
You were a bit of a child. I actually remember.
Okay, but anyway, but all those Carpenter songs and all at the end were
Woodstock
crap.
Yeah. You know what? There was room for everything. I mean, there's the Beatles.
Do you think the same people bought those records?
No. I don't think the people that bought the Beatles records bought Herb Albert.
Right.
But their parents did.
Right.
Their parents bought Craig Sinatra.
That's what I was
and Dean
afraid.
Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. Mm-hmm. and Hal David and Burt Bacharach songs. You know, parents buy music, too. Parents like music. So,
I know.
You know. There's room for everything. There's country. Glen Campbell was popular. I mean,
right.
There's room for everything.
So this would be like some mom today saying, I really enjoy that Justin Bieber.
Not likely.
No?
Highly unlikely. Although my mom did like NSYNC when they were popular.
There you go. That's what
it
is.
And I was like, Mom, I don't even listen to that. What's wrong with you?
Okay, that's what it is. So it's like that.
We have Dusty Springfield in the background.
No, I love Burt Bacharach, and they're great songs, and I enjoy listening to them. But it's just the time of that all that occurred is just kind of strange.
They were pop. It was a great time, actually. I mean, I was a little kid at the time, so I wasn't like a major record buying guy, but it was a great time. My memory is no matter when you turned on the radio, you'd hear something good.
Yeah.
Because all the stuff that I like now, as a kid, it was like, oh, Sinatra, he's fine. But I mean, if you think about turning on the radio in 1967, you only got good stuff, I think. So there's, like I said, there is a lot of cool stuff going on. The TV was cool, I don't know. My memory anyway.
Okay, I'll go with you. I just think that if I was you're riding in the back seat of the car.
Station wagon,
and you're wanting to hear rock and roll.
No, forget it.
Right, so your mom puts on...
Well, there's
the Carpenters.
Why
do birds suddenly appear? B.J. Thomas, Raindrops Keep Falling Down.
Awesome.
Great songs.
Another Burt Bacharach.
Awesome songs by Burt Bacharach. But are you satisfied? sitting in the back seat.
Well, as a kid, there was top 40 radio. There wasn't FM or hard rock stations. It was strictly AM radio, which meant top 40. And what constituted top 40 was, you know, the Jackson 5 or the Beatles,
right,
or the Rolling Stones or Frank Sinatra or Petula Clark or Tijuana Brass. You know, it was everything.
Right.
So it was like, there wasn't like a rock station. It was top 40, but they played lots of stuff. The Beach Boys.
Cool.
Okay.
Well, we got a lot of questions. We'll never make it through this podcast if we spend this much time on every question.
You don't have to pay for airtime.
But let me just... But Robert, thank you for the question.
Did we answer it, or did we just blast?
Well, let me just say that I do think Hal David and Burt Bacharach were awesome. And then he went with Carol Bear Sager.
Well, here's what happened.
He got married to her.
I'll just do really quickly. I won't do this whole history, but, you know, that was his... That was his writing partner through his best years. You know, and they were, you know... Bert wrote the melodies and Hal wrote the lyrics, and it worked great. The problem was, I think, in a lot of teams, one of them is a little more dominant. And in that particular team, Bert Bacharach was a more dominant personality. He was a good-looking guy. He was more of a out in front taking the bow sort of thing. You know, he had the albums. It was
right.
Bert Bacharach albums.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So he took was taking a lot of the bows. I think Hal David, I don't know if he resented it, but I think, you know, he probably said, "Hey, you know, I'm on here too. You know, I wrote this too." And Bert would always give him credit, but I think Bert Bacharach was the star of the two.
Yeah.
What happened was things were a little bit strained in the late '60s, and they did a film in the early '70s called Lost Horizon, which was a major disaster.
Whoa.
Financially, a huge bomb at the box office, and that pretty much and the strain of writing the music for that movie, I think, broke them apart. And in 73, around 73, they broke up. And Hal went with other, Hal David went with other people.
Yeah.
And Bacharach went with other people. And Bacharach, you know, tried different writing partners. And he had hits every once in a while. He went through kind of a dry period, which a lot of artists do. And he came back in the 80s with Arthur.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, his career kind of kept going with you know, Carol Bear Sager, who he was married to, was his writing partner for a while. And he chose different people throughout
the years. And he dated, like, a lot of really high...
Yeah,
Hollywood.
Angie Dickinson, I think.
It was Mary. I think it was Mary Dale and Angie Dickinson.
Right.
It's like, yeah. So anyway,
he's awesome, but yeah.
So Robert, thank you for the question, and yeah, we love Burt Bacharach and Hal David.
And you know, what's his Austin Powers?
Oh yeah.
Sort of rediscovered him with Austin Powers. Mike Myers got Burt Bacharach to play in the movie. You know,
right.
Remember he was playing. In the movie, and kind of brought him back into the public eye.
Awesome.
Anyway, okay.
Well, anyway, thank you for the question, and well, Rick knows tons about Burt Bacharach, so maybe we will do a podcast on it.
Exclusively about Burt Bacharach.
About Burt Bacharach.
I would be up.
So let's go to the next question, which is Amanda, who apparently gets the most questions from anybody at the market.
Oh, she's the prettiest. She's the prettiest.
I think it just says a lot about the people that listen to the podcast.
Well, they're awesome.
They're male. They're male. They're horny. They drink. And this is where we get these. This is where we get these questions.
Amanda. Love the Comic-Con podcast. I'm planning on going next year. Any tips on where to stay and how to get to attend panels, premieres, and special events?
Well, first of all, Comic-Con is usually booked a year in advance. You need to, actually even I think now you can register for next year's Comic-Con. As of March of this year, Comic-Con for July was completely sold out. So if you're going to go to Comic-Con, you need to get your 4-day badges. I think they go on sale either February or March, or they were pre-registered at Comic-Con this year. So definitely get them when they go on sale. Keep checking the Comic-Con website for when they go on sale.
Yeah, confusing music playing in the background.
And all right. And usually, like, the end of March is when you can actually go on to the Comic-Con website and get hotels. And what you do is you go on there and you say closest to Comic-Con Convention Center, or San Diego Convention Center, and they kind of give you whatever is available. And then sometimes you get lucky and you can get something close by, or, you know, a couple blocks away, or, you know, you may get something a mile away. But the best thing you can do is going through the Comic-Con website, because they have booked out every hotel now.
Really?
You know, we couldn't even book our hotel.
If all else fails.
Like, do you guys stay in Old Town? I love Old Town.
Old Town's not really close to the convention.
No, it isn't.
You have to drive. It's about a 15-minute drive.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
People think, I'm going to stay in Old Town.
Well, I would love it.
You can stay there, but you have to drive.
Okay.
And as far as panels,
that's a good tip. Yeah. Because I would stay in Old Town.
No, downtown.
Yeah, Old Town is not
stay.
Close to the convention
downtown.
Center.
Downtown. That's where
or unless you can stay somewhere that has access to the trolley. If you can hop on the trolley, it's a little bit more of a
you have to sing the song.
Yep.
You have to sing the Judy Garland song if you get up on the trolley.
And the panels, how do you get into a panel? Or?
The panels, it depends on the popularity. It's if anything in Hall H, it's usually you have to get there several hours ahead of time to go to the panel. Or if it's a really popular show of that year. If it's older stuff, then you'll...
If you want to get into panels, go with me, because the ones I go to aren't that popular. No. You can walk right... In fact, you can run your own panel.
But no, anything in, like, Ballroom 20, which is the second biggest hall next to Hall H, people will wait in line sometimes 4 or 5 hours if it's a really huge, show that's very popular. Like, it was Heroes when that was still very in vogue.
Right.
That was people waiting in line for 4 hours.
Okay,
for that,
I'm going to take the special events one. Because Rick and I experienced it getting into things we're not invited to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you one tip, and we have several, but maybe we'll give you one now.
For some of them.
Maybe we'll give you one later. But here's one. And this is, I'm sure this is, I've never been to Comic-Con, but I do know, I'm just going to say one word. The smoking line is in California, you can't smoke indoors. So they always have this roped up smoking area. Outside, and people in the entertainment, creative people, especially Comic-Con people, smoke like fiends. And so you just kind of hang out by the smoking line. We've done this before. And you just blend in, and when somebody that is supposed to be there walks back in, you walk back in with them, and you just crashed a major party. And major premiere.
Or it helps to know somebody if you know somebody that works for
the
company.
Yeah, but people listening to our podcast aren't going to know anybody.
they
wouldn't be
us.
Writing guns.
They don't even know us.
Yeah.
So what chance do they have with
Yeah, no, if you know somebody, you can get in or get on a list.
And also sometimes at some of the panels, like they'll have contests you can enter to go to a specific party. Like, for example, for DreamWorks this year, we had a panel on Fright Night. And if you enter a certain text thing, you had a chance to win tickets to go to the Fright Night premiere party where you'd see a screening and all the cast members were going to be there.
That was the party.
You can sometimes go to like Alice in Wonderland. When that was coming out, Tim Burton had, you could go to a Mad Hatter's Tea Party. You could enter to win tickets to that. So there are options,
I don't think Tim is pouring.
So even if you aren't in the industry, there are options where you can find ways to win tickets or be invited to some kind of appreciation thing where there will be celebrities.
You can do the Amanda way and be honest and true, or you can go the Jerry way and sneak in. Act confident.
Yes. You have to act like you belong here.
Don't show up in cutoffs and a wife beater and expect to get in the party. Right. Show up like you belong there.
Put the camera back in your pocket.
Good tip, Rick. And just walk in like you belong. And I haven't missed one.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've never been kicked out, have we?
No.
We've never been kicked out.
The Comic-Con is a lot of fun. It's very crowded. And save up a lot of money because it's expensive. And if you're going to Comic-Con and you're as big of a fan of that whole genre as I am, there's going to be less stuff you're going to want to buy. So save your pennies.
Save your money. Good tip. Okay, this next question is going to be for Rick. And it's, everybody gets questions but me. But anyway, Rick. No, it's okay. I'm okay with it, really.
Yes, I have a hand.
Rick, what? What costs more, hand-drawn or computer animation? What's the most expensive part of an animated movie? I'm thinking of doing a 5-minute short film, animated short film, and want it to be good. Any ideas on about how much I can expect to spend?
I know how to make a bad movie.
Bob.
More expensive, I'll tell you what's more, it's more involved to do a CGI computer animated film. You have to design the characters. You have to build the characters. You have to rig the characters. You have to surface. What do you call that? The characters. You have to light the characters. That's all. You have to do all of that. So it takes. It's a little more involved to do a CG film. Hand drawing. You can kind of all use paper and a pencil. Really.
Yeah.
So
if Bob's an animator. If Bob's a 2D animator.
If he's really a 2D animator,
it's definitely cheaper to do 2D.
I think it's
him.
Cheaper to do
for him.
For him, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got to pay people to do it.
You do. I mean, you can buy, you know, software. You can get, you know, you can get this sort of very basic CGI software where you can build your own characters and you can, you know, animate them. I don't think one is necessarily cheaper or more expensive than the other. I think it's just the CG is a little more involved.
Right.
It takes a little more planning to do something like that. Like I can go in my studio right now and animate a scene right now.
Right.
Well, I've got paper and a pencil in there. I can animate a few seconds.
Right.
You know, right now, and I can do it. But
so an animated movie, like, I mean, I'm not sure what the budget of an animated movie is, but where's all the money come from? Is it from the computer graphics, or is it from the voice actors, or is it from the
voice actors get paid scale for animated films?
So it's very cheap. So the actors are cheap,
unless you're DreamWorks.
DreamWorks tends to pay a lot for,
but Disney pays scale
for the talent, for the voice actors. I mean, they get, you know, Jeffrey likes to get big names,
right,
for his film. So, you know, those, they're not going to do it for, you know, for peanuts. You know.
Wow.
Anyway, what was I going to say?
So what would you expect? What do you think if he's going to do a 5-minute film? Like what? And I don't know if Bob can draw or Bob cannot draw, but what if he can draw?
5 minutes is going to take him a while.
Then how much?
If he's by himself,
and how much?
Oh, I don't know.
He wants to. That's what he asks. How much?
Several thousand.
Several thousand.
I think.
More than that.
You know.
10,000, 20,000.
My friend Justin, to give an example, is doing a short film on his own that is, I think, almost 3 minutes long. He's been working on it for a year, and it's already cost him $10,000.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, let's say
$20,000.
I said so, $1,000, probably.
$20,000.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd pay $20,000. Bob?
My friend Bill Clinton, you know, he's a pretty, very famous independent animator. You know, he just works really fast. He does them all by himself. He draws them, he colors them, but he works really fast. He's telling me how much footage he can turn out. He's, you know, I think that helps if you're really fast.
Okay, Bob, if you're an animator and you can actually draw, do as much as you can yourself.
Yeah.
And
you can
do
ask friends to
$20,000 is not, $20,000 in your lifetime is worth it.
Mm-hmm. Send us a quick time file in 2 years when it's done. We'll put it on the podcast.
Do it. There you go. Yeah. And if you're in Los Angeles, visit Rick and he'll help you. And you can hire Rick for...
Just show up. I'll help you. Yeah.
Rick will give you some tips. So, but anyway, but yeah, do it. Yeah. If you want to, if you're thinking of making a 5-minute...
If you have a good idea, give it a shot.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the next... What will be our next question here? I'm going to go to the... I actually did get a question.
Jerry got a question.
From Andrea.
From a girl, too.
From a girl.
Jerry, I'm
our
eight,
only
I'm
female
eight,
listener.
I'm 8 years old.
She says, I liked hearing you talk about Jay Leno's garage. Sounds amazing.
I have an amazing garage.
It is.
Do you know about any other crazy collections in Hollywood? Okay, the first thing I'm going to tell you is his collection is not crazy. He makes money at it. He is not losing any money. He's not crazy. Would be collecting, I don't know, old McDonald's quarter pounder wrappers. Collecting cars, they go up in value.
Yeah.
And there's nothing crazy about it.
He does it because he loves the car.
Oh, yes. Good point.
He doesn't do it for any kind of investment.
Yeah.
He does it because he loves the car.
And if you know anybody that knows cars, there's, like, people that know cars, there's people that like cars, there's people that collect cars, and then there's Jay Leno, who is somebody who knows.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows so much about cars that he... I mean, he is like, if you know somebody that's really into cars, they don't compare. I mean, this guy researches and gets drawings, and he knows where cars are, and he waits for cars. I mean, it is...
He slept in them.
Because he has the first car, and that's a good point. He's never sold a car. He has the first car that he slept in for 6 months when he moved to L.A. from Boston, and he has every car, and he knows them. He works on them. He changes the oil on them.
Yep.
If you went to his garage, he would be working on a car. And he knows more than than
humanly
professional
possible.
It's
people.
His passion, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how much he knows. He knows how to machine. He knows tolerances. He knows materials.
I don't even know what that means.
He's crazy.
There's a crazy collection.
Okay. So, other crazy collections. You had one, Amanda. You knew somebody had it.
I know somebody I know, but there is this house in Beverly Hills that we call the House of David that they have, like, I don't even know what it is, like 20 these white, like, Grecian statues of David, you know,
the sculpture, David, the naked dude, all the way around.
They
put underpants on him, didn't they?
Huh?
You can't, didn't
they? Is he naked
in
all of them?
Pants on him.
No. Well, I mean, of course he is.
He's naked.
It's the you know, regular statue, but. Yeah, there's like 20 of this, like all on the sky.
The House of David.
Yep.
Rick, you have any?
I have my own personal crazy collection. Should I tell you my crazy collection?
Yeah, what's your crazy
things I've collected in through the years? I used to collect monster models when I was little. Films. I collect films. I used to collect Super 8 films, and then I got into 16mm, which was very expensive, but I was making lots of money in those days, and I was able to get. I ended up getting about 400 feature films.
Wow.
On 16mm. And like probably 150, 200 cartoons.
Whoa.
Lots of stuff. That's a crazy collection. I used to collect movie posters. I used to collect horror movie posters, like the Universal horror movies and Laurel and Hardy and Evan Costello and things like that. Expensive. Crazy.
Yeah.
I was obsessed. I was, you know.
Liberace used to collect pianos, and then he had like this diamond. Or mink coats. He used to collect
mink coats, really?
Too.
Wow.
Really? He had all these collections that he would, that he had. And he ended up buying a separate place to put all his pianos in.
Yeah, because a lot of people, you know, the creative people, we like toys. We like stuff. We like to play with stuff, whether it's, you know.
Oh, speaking of toys, I just remembered, when I first moved out here, I was friends with this guy who was an AD, and he collects pinball machines. All over his house, in the basement,
really?
And everywhere, pinball machines.
Who's that
right.
guy? Dude, I know him now.
No.
Wow.
Cool.
So everyone's got a, you know.
Everybody's
so
got
everyone's, him. Some people just got their own
thing,
right? Thing,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's.
He didn't have any furniture, like, just all these pinball machines. It was,
really?
It was very odd. He was not a guy, but, you know.
Okay, last question. We're running out of time. I'm going to do the, I'm a big boxing fan and would like to hear a podcast on boxing.
Yeah, well, I would love to do a podcast on
boxing. I would love to see the Klitschko brothers fight each other. Do you think it would ever happen?
I'm sure they grew up doing that. Talk to the mom. She's probably got videos.
So the Klitschko brothers.
You get in your room and you get in the other room.
Are these two Russian guys. They're never going to fight each other. Unless there's a whole lot of money.
That's pretty weird. That's like wrestling.
I know.
What was it? Owen Hart and Bret Hart.
Right, right.
The same thing.
They're not going to fight each other. But, or like tennis with the Williams sisters. No reason to play each other.
You know, some promoter will come up with something.
Right. Tell the money's right.
Although they would, you know, if they're in a tournament and they end up in the finals, they'd play each other,
right.
wouldn't they?
I think they have, actually. Uh-huh. I think they have played each other.
Yeah.
But anyway, I figure I'd end with this question with Rick and his, for Rick's story, about when we met, Rick and I met Ken Norton.
Oh, yeah, Ken Norton.
But before I do that, just a tip from me. Have you ever seen the documentary called, I'm going to forget the name of it, Unforgivable Blackness?
No.
Jack Johnson.
Oh, I know who Jack Johnson is, yeah.
Ken Burns, who like does great documentaries, did this documentary on Jack Johnson, who is a black boxer in like 1908.
He was the heavyweight champion.
Heavyweight champion of the world. And it's like they had a Broadway show called The Great White Hope with James Earl Jones about it. And he was like 10 times he had this attitude. He would date white women.
He was really
in 1908.
He was really
flamboyant, very flamboyant,
very, I wouldn't even use arrogant, but just very cocky and fun. And the fact that he did that in America in the early 1900s is just unbelievable.
And he would date and he was married, I think, to two white women. And
at the same time.
And they arrested him, and he served time for because one of the women that he married, he crossed the state line to marry, and they accused him of kidnapping. and it was a consensual marriage and all this stuff. But he actually went to jail and then came out but was just like this awesome boxer nobody could beat.
Yeah, everyone.
And he was smart and African American. Yeah. And he has a patent for a wrench.
Oh,
he developed some brand new wrench.
That's funny.
And he died penniless. Yeah. Unfortunately, but just a great story of just a guy that just like totally bucked the system.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it's called Unforgivable Blackness. Awesome movie. But anyway, let's
finish. Can I say something random really quick?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
We have these little quiz coasters here in the bar that it's like an entertainment type thing. And it says, I thought it said, who was strangled on Gilligan's Island? And I'm thinking, what episode was that in? It's like, I thought I knew that show really well. And I can't think of when that was. But it said, who was stranded on Gilligan's
Ginger,
Island?
Okay. Ginger and Marianne strangled each other in one episode.
So who was stranded on Gilligan's Island?
Who was stranded?
Stranded on Gilligan's Island.
You mean all of them?
All of them.
Well, so that's no trivia.
There's only one way to do it.
The song.
Do I have to? Okay. Are we going to close the scene?
Professor and Mary.
You could be the professor and the rest. The
yeah, you could be the professor and the rest, which the rest was just Marianne.
The rest, yeah. No, it was Ginger and Marianne.
No, because they do. The movie star. The professor and Mary. And all the rest. So it was just all the rest was Marianne.
That's three words as opposed to two.
I know. It's like
stupid.
Lame.
Yeah. Anyway.
So Sheldon, no.
Maybe you know, I don't think he even said the professor and the rest. I think they just said.
No, they did.
No, it's a movie star and the rest. That's how it goes. A movie star and the rest, and then they show the professor and Marianne's
picture. Ah, okay. Wow.
That's how
and he was like Russell, what's the guy's
name?
Russell Johnson. He was in
he's in movies.
He was in that movie with the people that lived underground.
The Mole People?
The Mole People. He's in that movie.
Yeah, he's in a bunch of B-50s movies.
I love Russell Johnson. Time Machine. Whatever that is.
Orlocks.
No, is that Time Machine?
No. The Orlocks are, that's a time machine. It's a whole different thing. That's going into the future.
Well, okay.
The Mole People live below the Earth.
Okay, I'm confused. But anyway, let's finish up with, so I think we do know all the people that were stranded on Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan.
Skipper. Gilligan.
Millionaire's
wife. Professor Anne, Marianne, and the movie star. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right?
That's it.
Yeah.
And then they had the little boy the last season. A little boy.
Oliver?
I'm kidding.
No, I
don't. Oliver got left the Brady Bunch.
Brady Bunch.
I love hearing when shows add
jump the show.
A little kid, and you're like, oh, it's going to go off the air.
My three sons
had a little girl.
Yeah, that's right.
Gone.
Dodie.
Goodbye. We're canceled.
Dodie. Oliver.
Hello, it's the CBS. You're canceled.
Yeah.
So, we saw that 8-year-old on the show. You're gone. Is this Fred McMurray? Yeah, you're canceled.
There was even one at Family Ties. They brought in some little kid.
Is there another little kid in that?
Yeah,
I think most people stop watching it before that happens.
It's like they bring a
pretty
kid in. Yeah. In fact, I think even Fonzie ended up with, like, didn't he, like, have some kid that he was going to be the father for?
I wouldn't be surprised. All in the family had a little girl.
All in the family.
It was Archie and the little girl.
Archie, it was weird, man. Okay, so you want to tell about Ken Norton?
It's a quick, isn't it?
I know. We're way over time.
We saw Ken Norton at one of the collector shows, and I thought Ken Norton was an awesome boxer.
He's awesome.
He beat Muhammad Ali.
Broke his jaw.
He was a real good fighter. Real muscular, too. Really muscular guy. So, we got to meet him and stuff, and he was really cool.
Not a good dad, though, apparently.
That's surprising. A boxer, nothing a good dad. He's probably the first one, actually. It wasn't a good dad. Jerry's dropping his dad.
Yeah, anyway, sorry about that.
So we met him, and I said, hey, can I get a picture with you? And he goes, yeah, sure, and he's real nice and whatever. So I couldn't believe it.
I'm holding the camera.
So he's got the camera, and he's, so I'm sort of looking at him, and he's looking at me. And all of a sudden, he puts his fist right in my freaking mouth. And he, like, just, like he's going to beat the, unbelievable.
And
he's looking right at me, and he's got his fist right in my, like, practically my mouth, and I'm, like, leaning back, and whoa. And Jerry took the picture. Really cool.
And we will put the picture on our website.
But he was a cool guy. But that
cool
was just
guy.
All said.
Lots of fun, but
sure,
it was just like that stare-down picture, like, and every...
Yeah.
every picture for every boxing match would be like Muhammad Ali and Ken Hart with their fists at each other's chin.
Yeah.
And that's what he did to you. That was awesome.
It was awesome. Yeah.
So we'll put that picture on our website. Amanda, thank you. Rick, thank you. People that are listening, thank you for the questions.
Yeah, good questions.
Appreciate that. We didn't get to all of them, but we will eventually.
Yeah, we'll around to everything.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
So you're at the new location, so you keep on joining us here.
Yeah, you can join us on Facebook.
It's really easy.
You can just
Can we pay? Are they charge yet?
No. The podcasts are free, and you can get them at www.mccurtymetro.com. And you can support us not by paying for the podcast, but by supporting our sponsors.
And they thank you greatly.
So if you need business cards, go to PB Imaging. If you want to check out a book, and there's probably some Burt Bacharach book that somebody could buy.
Yeah, there's a Burt Bacharach book, actually.
Go to audible.com. It might even be narrated by Burt Bacharach. That'd be awesome.
If Jerry's kind of book is available, you're right.
And you can listen to it.
I'm
going
to
be flying out, so I'll check that out. And join us next time at Rick's Martini Bar. So, for Rick, Amanda, and me, Jer, cheers.
Signing off.
Yeah.
Cheers.